Several years ago, I was coming to the end of my 60s and facing my 70s, the second decade of what I thought of as the third act of my life, Act 3, which, as I see it, begins at age 60. I was worried. Being in my 60s was one thing. Given good health, we can fudge our 60s, but 70. Now that's serious. In our grandparents' time, people in their 70s were considered part of the old, on their way out. However, a revolution has occurred within the last century, a longevity revolution. Studies show that on average, 34 years have been added to human life expectancy, moving it from an average of 46 years to 80. This addition represents an entire second adult lifetime, and whether we choose to confront it or not, it changes everything, including what it means to be human. The social anthropologist and a friend of mine, Mary Catherine Bateson, has a metaphor for living with this longer lifespan in view. She writes in her recent book, Composing a Further Life, The Age of Active Wisdom, "We have not added decades to life expectancy by simply extending old age. Instead, we have opened up a new space partway through the life course, a second and different kind of adulthood that precedes old age. And as a result, every stage of life is undergoing change." Bateson uses the identifiable metaphor of what happens when a new room is added to your home. It isn't just the new room that's different. Every other part of the house and how it is used is altered a bit by the addition of this room. In the house that is our life, things such as planning, marriage, love, finances, parenting, travel, education, physical fitness, work, retirement, our very identities even, all take on new meaning now that we can expect to be vital into our 80s and 90s, or longer. But our culture has not come to grips with the ways the longevity revolution has altered our lives. Institutionally, so much of how we do things is the same as it was early in the 20th century, with our lives segregated into age-specific silos. During the first third we learn, during the second third we produce, and in the last third we presumably spend time on leisure. Consider, instead, how it would look if we tore down the silos and integrated the activities. For example, let's begin to think of learning and working as a lifelong challenge instead of something that ends when you retire. What if the wonderfully empowering feeling of being productive can be experienced by children early in life? And if they know from first grade that education will be an expected part of their entire lives? What if the second traditionally productive silo is braided with leisure and education, and seniors with 20 or more productive years left can enjoy leisure time while remaining in the workforce in some form and attending to education, if for no other reason than to challenge their minds? Envisioned this way, longevity becomes like a symphony, with echoes of different times reoccurring with slight modifications, as in music, across the life arc. Except that we don't have the sheet music to this new symphony. We, today's boomers and seniors, are the pioneer generations, the ones who need to compose together a template for how to maximize the potential of this amazing gift of time, so as to become whole, fully realized people over the longer life arc. In attempting to chart a course for myself into my 60s and beyond, I found it helpful to view the symphony of my own life in three acts, or three major developmental stages. Act 1, the first three decades, Act 2, the middle three decades, and Act 3, the final three decades, or however many more years one is granted. As I searched for ways to understand the new realities of aging, I discovered the arch and the staircase.